That Naturopathic Podcast. TNP.
Hello there.
Hi, and thanks for joining us. I'm Dr. Michelle Pulbega, naturopathic doctor.
And I'm Dr. David Miller, ND, and we hear your frustrations. This show is for you.
This show is for you if you're feeling like your current healthcare strategy is not getting to the root cause or the underlying reasons for your health.
This show is for you if you've been told that you're fine, but you definitely don't feel very well.
This show is for you if you're walking out of your doctor's office with 1, 2, 3, 4, or even 5 medications without any mention of diet, lifestyle, or a long-term game plan.
This show is for you if you've got several specialists taking care of you, but no one is really putting all the pieces together.
This show is for you if you believe that health should be part of healthcare. These problems have solutions.
We know it.
Our patients know it.
And we want you to know it.
Naturopathic medicine is the solution that you should know about.
Hello and welcome to another episode of That Naturopathic Podcast. I'm Dr. Michelle Pulbega. I am flying solo today and I'm here to, spark a fire, remind you, encourage you to move your body. I was doing home workouts and it started well before COVID when I was living in a condo and I wasn't close to my old gym before. And I started doing more home workouts, but I found that I wasn't as motivated as I was when I went to the gym. So it wasn't as consistent. And I found myself feeling, ugh. And then COVID came and being in the house, it just felt gross. And I still wasn't moving my body consistently or methodically or just with good intention. I would often go check my phone. I would do this, blah, blah, blah. So maybe about... And it took me a while to shake that, to be honest. So I get it. I get how we're all busy and it's hard to come out of the funk and it's hard to allocate time for this. But then earlier, maybe like early 2023, I started to realize that I need to make a better commitment. So I started doing a little bit more of my home workouts. I have a platform that I have a subscription to so I can set it for 20 minutes, 30 minutes. And usually that's my biggest commitment. I'm not doing 1 hour classes of cardio or HIIT or Pilates or yoga. I'm doing 20 to 30 minutes. And I started becoming a little bit more consistent this year with it. And then I realized there was an F45 up the street from me and I joined it, but I didn't have the intention of going every day. Because I also know that as a woman and depending on my stress response, my stress levels, how I'm feeling, I cannot commit to a high intensity exercise every single day of the week for 45 minutes, especially based on hormone cycles and things like that. And if you aren't familiar with working with your hormones, females, I did record a podcast, a solo episode. I don't remember how many months back now, but there's things like that available. That episode's available. Oh my God. Things like Fast Like a Girl by Mindy Pels is available. There's a lot more women starting to come out to talk about how we cannot exercise or eat, have the same eating habits like men do, because our hormones pretty much govern everything. So anyways, that was part of the reason why I didn't think it was a good idea to just join F45. It's also one of those reasons why I don't like really love Orange Theory, because it's just high intensity the whole time. And I feel like that is probably causing a lot of issues for people that they just don't know it yet. Anyways, I joined F45. I was going once, twice a week, and I loved it. And then I found because I was pushing myself in that specific scenario with no phone as a distraction, 100% commitment, there were other people there, we motivate each other, and just like human nature of competition and staying and feeling like you're keeping up to the same level, like I would push myself, I would challenge myself. And then I found when I started doing my home workouts, I was more committed to the process with my home workouts as well. And I gotta say, it's even though I used to love working out at the gym, falling off was hard. And I don't think I fully realized the impact it was having. And then sitting all day at a desk, I started getting like more low back problems, issues of like tight glutes and then sciatic like pains where I was getting like pains down my leg or numbness in my leg. And I was like, this is not okay. So I made a better commitment to move my body regularly. And on days that I can't do a proper exercise, I always wake up and I stretch and I move my body. I am 43, guys. I cannot pretend like I'm 20 and just do whatever I want. I have to start my day with intention. So I typically do some stretches and some mobility exercises in the morning, especially if I'm not having a proper exercise moment, a conscientious 20 to 30 minutes of like more resistance related exercise. So the reason I'm talking about this is that in practice, there are a lot of people coming into the office, and I'm seeing a lot of women with PCOS, which is often insulin-driven, an insulin-driven problem that then thereby affects their female hormones. I'm seeing people complaining about their weight. I'm seeing people who have poorly functioning thyroids. I'm seeing people who are chronically stressed. I'm seeing people who have insulin resistance or pre-diabetes or type 2 diabetes. I'm seeing people with cholesterol issues. I'm seeing people with cardiovascular issues. And I'm seeing people with mental health issues. And very few of them are actually committing to moving their body conscientiously and consistently. And all of those conditions would be impacted by consistent and mindful exercise. And I think sometimes we overcomplicate things in our head and we think, oh, I have to join a gym or I have to do this or, you know, I have to work out for an hour or it has to be high intensity or blah, blah, blah. But in all fairness, I feel like a lot of that is excuses. I know that time might be a limiting factor. And some people do feel like they work out better in a public environment, like in a gym or in a class, in a group setting, rather than being motivated to do at home. I get it. So what I'm saying is find what works for you, because building muscle is a huge part of our resiliency. Building muscle is a huge part of strengthening so many facets of our health. And I find exercise and building muscle is a testament to mental strength, mental resiliency, because you have to challenge yourself to push yourself beyond just what is your level of comfort. And I find that in today's society, a lot of people don't like to move outside their level of comfort. They do not like discomfort. And that goes for so many things, with emotional things, with trying something new, with, you know, pushing themselves a little bit further. And this is where I David Goggins the shit out of my exercises. And I was like, I gotta just mind over matter this thing. And that also improves mental resiliency. Cause then when you're done, you're like, I did that shit. I was like, I'm a rock star. You know what I mean? And then you start being like, well, I can apply that mental strength and resiliency to other facets of my life. So sometimes it helps to start with exercise, but our muscles are an organ system. And they have a lot of benefits and functions. And building your muscles is going to have such a huge ripple effect. Now, a lot of people get stuck in, you know, if I eat shit, I can just exercise. And I think exercise is phenomenal and it's going to benefit your body in a multitude of ways. But what I will say, and I will never back down from this statement, you cannot exercise your way out of a shit crap diet, period. End of story. And I find that a lot of people use exercise almost as a punishment for what they ate. Oh, I ate a few more cookies, so I have to work out harder. And it's almost like you're beating yourself up for this. Or it's a punishment because they don't like how their body looks. So they feel like they we're coming at exercise with a negative connotation, because we get really caught up in like maybe the physical external appearance of what we look like. And then we feel like we've got to like beat it down in an excessive amount to feel comfortable in our own skin. And I think I got caught up in that a little bit more when I was younger. But now when I think about exercise, I think about it as a celebration of what my body can actually do. And a celebration of my mental resiliency to challenge myself. And a knowingness that by giving my body this support, my body is going to show up for me tenfold in with so many blessings, and it's going to support me in so many different ways when it comes to my immune system, when it comes to inflammation, when it comes to blood sugar regulation, when it comes to back pain and aging, right? We tend to think of bones as static tissue, but they are not. And as we age, you know, we can start developing things like sarcopenia, which is like age-related muscle loss. And then we start getting frailty in our bones and osteopenia, and then possibly osteoporosis. And then there's more joint issues and stuff like that. And we need to be proactive to prevent a greater degradation in our structural support and health so that we are not as frail and fragile as we get older. But it has to start creating a happy and healthy routine now to help circumvent that. Because once you're in that point of sarcopenia, you have to be far more mindful about how you begin to integrate exercise so you avoid any kind of damage. Once we get into the place of like bone fragility and like joint fragility, there has to be a much more educated and mindful approach and a very gentle approach to integrating exercise again. But back to my bone not being static tissue, bone is constantly being broken down and rebuilt, just like our muscles. Every time we exercise, we like tear them apart and we rebuild them. Like our body's constantly in a state of flux, and our bones are no different. And part of how exercise benefits our bones is because our muscles are then attached to tendons, the tendons are what attach to the bones. And when we start using our muscles more, it tends to put tension on the bone through the tendons with like a pulling mechanism. And then if your bones feel like there's tension pushed against them, they are going to then deposit more minerals to become stronger, to be able to handle that extra tension. So exercise also allows for better bone health because we are giving our body more of the signals to mineralize our bones and maintain that building rather than degradation of bone tissue. And then on top of that, you build your muscles, you strengthen the joints, you strengthen the ligaments and the tendons that connect joints and fuse things together to make sure that everything is attached and moving well. It's important to keep those things lubricated. And as we get older, things get a little bit more, you know, Tin Man from Wizard of Oz, and we start squeaking and creaking. So doing movement, gentle movement is important. And as we get older, when I was 20, I would just jump into a strength training exercises at the gym. I can't do that anymore. I have to make sure I give myself a warm up. And that's where my mobility and stretching comes in the morning to ensure that my joints are well lubricated and things begin to be mobile and warm, so they are better prepared for a proper challenge with a more conscientious rate resistant or body resistant type of exercise program. So as we age, we need to understand how to modify our exercises. As women, we need to understand that we cannot just go hard for like an hour with a high intensity work and exercise class, like a HIIT class, or just run on a treadmill for 45 minutes to an hour every single day of our cycle. That is going to work against you. Also, if you are chronically stressed or if you have thyroid issues, exercise is extremely vital, but over-exercising and doing only high intensity exercising is going to bite you in the ass. And I find that this is one of the most difficult conversations to have with people, where people come in and they overexercise. And sometimes I have women coming in being like, saying that they're doing two different classes a day. And I'm like, but you're not an elite athlete. No, you don't have a physical trainer. You don't have a massage therapist and an on-call physiotherapist. You don't have a dietitian. You're not maximizing your rest. You're running around with like a chicken with your head cut off, chasing your kids, and you're getting minimal amount of sleep. You can't afford to be doing two exercise classes a day because your body's already in a chronic state of stress. And now exercise, even though it's a positive stress, too much of a good thing is too much of a good thing. And over-exercising is then going to become a negative stress. And an excessive amount of high-intensity exercising is going to become a negative stress. And now you're just shooting yourself in the foot. And you are further depleting your system. Same thing with thyroid. Weight resistance training and things like that are really fantastic to build metabolic health and improve thyroid function. All those things, you're going to benefit from this, but you can't just go hard. You have to learn how to work with your body. And I find that is a really big missing piece in people's headspace when it comes to exercise. And women come in saying, oh, I need to lose weight. And then they overexercise and they're burnt out. And then I'm telling them to exercise less. And they do not have, it's like, we don't know how to compute that because we've been fed a lot of lies about exercise. We think, oh, calories in, calories out, it's no big deal. And a lot of exercise programs are based on men's physiology. They are not working with the female rhythms. So then we expect our bodies to show up for us based on these studies that are based on men. And then we don't take into consideration all these other hormones, like in your endocrine system, like your stress response, like your thyroid, like your female sex hormones, like insulin, and all these different things that actually have a really profound impact and are going to have, are going to either be jeopardized or affected or influence your body's ability to work out. And doing the wrong thing is, even if it's exercise and you think you have the best intentions, doing it incorrectly, doing it too intensely and for too long could very well be kicking you in the ass, guys. So anyways, be smart about your exercises. As you age, make sure to give yourself a warm up, make sure to stretch, make sure to lubricate those joint tissues and get your body warm enough to begin to take on something a little bit more intense. Now, part of why this has become even more on my radar is because, unlike medical doctors, as naturopaths like Dr. Dave and I have discussed, is that we tend to like to run insulin to assess insulin resistance and begin to catch upstream pre-diabetes or diabetic tendencies and insulin resistance. When you build muscle, it helps insulin resistance. So for instance, there are these things called glute transporters. So basically like glucose sensitive transports or glucose transporters, sorry. And in our muscle tissue, we have various glucose transporters. And these are these vessels that have to go to the cell membrane to then allow glucose into the cell. So that's why it's called a transporter. And it basically allows for glucose to be taken into the cell across the plasma membrane of the cell. Now, in muscles, there's a lot of GLUT4 specifically transporters. And there is a lot of insulin stimulated glucose uptake. It's actually the rate limiting step for the movement of GLUT4 from inside of a muscle cell to the actual plasma membrane. And the movement of GLUT4 is due to one way GLUT4 goes up to the surface is because of the response to insulin. There's a lot of other chemical reactions and stuff that happen. But then once GLUT4 is at the plasma membrane, glucose can then have an influx into the muscle cells. By exercising and building, not just exercising, pardon, by building muscle, we can increase GLUT4 related mass, which then enables, with the signal of insulin, more GLUT4 transporters will then be available at the plasma membrane level to allow an influx of glucose, which then allows us to use glucose more effectively and manage our blood glucose levels. The other thing that's really interesting is that exercise can also just stimulate GLUT4 translocation to the plasma membrane and in turn take up glucose uptake independent of insulin by just exercising. So exercise is an important regulator of glucose metabolism and uptake, and it's considered therapeutic for insulin resistance and type 2 diabetes because exercise stimulated glucose uptake can be maintained during insulin resistance. So this little tidbit likely is why Jesse Introspe, I think that's how you say your last name, glucose goddess, I tell a lot of my patients to look into her. She talks about, I don't know, within like 60 minutes of eating a big meal, go for a walk because you're starting to stimulate muscle activity a little bit more gently. We don't have to do an intense exercise, but then it stimulates the transport of GLUT4 molecules to the plasma membrane. So then you can use the blood sugar that's being produced by the meal you just consumed. And that helps regulate your blood sugar levels. There's also, by building muscle, you start to increase your mitochondrial volume. And mitochondria are the powerhouses of our cells. They produce energy in our cells, and they play a really important role in skeletal muscle metabolism, which would then also influence your glucose levels and insulin glucose influx and uptake, as well as like energy supply, et cetera. When we build muscle, we also can help decrease inflammation with the excretion of myokines. We will help hormones. We help immune system. Building muscle is like an insurance policy for your body's health. And just running on a treadmill, albeit cardio is very helpful, but you should not be just doing cardio, because you need to build muscle in weight training, resistance training, even body weight exercises are all going to help you build muscle. When I recently injured my shoulder and I had to take a pause from the F45, because they often do very dynamic full body exercises and a lot of stuff is happening overhead and my shoulder couldn't take it. So I modified my exercises at home so that I didn't have to use the weights, and then I can do less upper body stuff or modify the types of upper body movements and then just really work more lower body, core, things like that. And then when I did start using my arms more, I actually did it without any kinds of weights and just doing various things to ensure that I wasn't irritating the tendons. I wasn't stressing things out in my shoulders, but also still actively thinking about the muscles I'm engaging in slow and steady movements and doing some repetitious stuff and then adding light weights. Because I felt like I just needed to give my body a chance to recover and build back in. But sometimes my exercises would just use body weight and I didn't need weights. And I still felt like I'd work a sweat up and get the right exercise and get the movement my body needed. So what I would say is, you know, as someone who sits at a desk all day, seeing patients, and then is at a computer charting files, and then is at a computer to record this podcast as Zoom, and then we sit on the couch and we do this, I am actively making a point of exercising. And like I said, my commitment is maybe 20 to 30 minutes a day. If you're new to exercising, don't just start with weights. Just, you know, something like lunges, squats, push-ups, planks, like that can go a long way when you're starting to introduce something that challenges your muscles in a new way. And if you're new to exercising, I would highly suggest that you work with a trainer to understand how to do things correctly, so that you can avoid injury. And then once you understand how to do things correctly, then maybe you can start being a little bit more independent about your exercises. But please avoid injury. Don't go from zero to hero, you guys. And change it up. Like, sometimes I do resistance training, and sometimes I feel like based on where I am in my cycle, I'm doing more yoga or Pilates. Sometimes I'm just going for a walk. Sometimes I'm doing like a full body workout that also does a little bit of like blended with some cardio in there, but it also uses weights. So I'm still doing like resistance training, and I'm engaging more than one muscle at a time to really activate a lot of different synapses and things going on in my system. So that's my little spiel about exercise. And I just feel like we don't approach it the way we're supposed to. We almost approach it as if it's punishment for our body. Or we approach it because of a sense of vanity. And if that's what gets you to the gym, that's fine, but make your exercise correctly. But we think that we can just exercise our way out of a shitty diet. We think that it's punishment because we ate too much, or we feel fat, or we feel whatever. And then sometimes we approach it because we just think more is more, and we overexercise, and then we screw up our hormones, and then we can't figure out why we're always sick, or why our hormones look crappy, or we're gaining weight, or our thyroid isn't working well. We have to honor the body, and we have to listen. And I would say 20 to 30 minutes, even if it's 2 to 3 times a week of actual resistance training. And in between that, you might just make sure to go for like a 20-minute walk after your lunches or something. But people, please, please, please move your body. I'm seeing too many conditions coming into the office that could be much more easily managed if people would just make a commitment to move their body. I get it. This world is psychotically crazy and it's so busy. And sometimes it is hard to factor things in, but I find that most of us are wasting time watching Netflix. Most of us are wasting time scrolling Instagram or whatever. If you don't have kids, then I would say sneak it in first thing in the morning before you have to head out the door. 15 to 20 minutes, do something, get in there, get in the zone, move your body, and then you'll probably find that the rest of your day, your mental clarity, your mood, your energy levels are better, and then your sleep's going to be better at night, and then that further just spills over to the day and you're feeling even better again. If you have kids, then I'm not sure how you guys want to negotiate that with you and your partner, and to make sure you both get time to be able to commit to your physical activity, your physical strength, and your resiliency. But I encourage you guys to have those conversations to find out how you can support each other in this. Humans are not meant to be stationary. Without movement, there is not a good quality of life. Everything needs to move. Our organs need to move. Enzymes and things need to move. Our bodies need to move. Everything needs to move for life to work at its most optimum. And humans are no different. Move your body. That's it. All right. Hope that sparked a fire under someone's butt. And I don't know, sometimes I wonder if I just start going into a weird ramble. So like, I don't know, let me know. But guys, small commitments. Don't make it more complicated than it needs to be. Just start moving your body. And if you don't know how, the internet is an incredible hub of information. Don't just go to Joe Schmo. Look up some people who are very well established to find out how to do certain movements correctly. There's a lot of those types of things available online. You don't always have to get a personal trainer, but if you're really, really like feeling like, I don't know what I'm doing, please get a personal trainer. Do it correctly, but move your body, love your body, celebrate what it can do, and support your body's ability to show up for you the way you actually want it to and the way it is actually meant to. So many diseases of modern day society are a consequence of shitty lifestyles, sedentary lifestyles, poor dietary choices, poor hydration. We need to do better. And this world and this society seems to just like to keep us busy. And then we all wonder why we keep getting sicker. And then we're exposed to so many pollutions and pollutants in our food and our water and our air, et cetera. It's unbelievable. So we actively have to start making choices that are different. We have to actively make choices to honor our systems and honor our body. We have to actively make choices that are in our best interest. Maybe we can shift how society approaches life if we all just start choosing differently and start choosing better, because the majority, it can win. We need to stop catering to the 1% to 2% who seem to be making decisions for everything. They do not speak for me. I get to control my life. And that means I'm going to conscientiously make a choice to move my body, eat cleaner foods, make better choices when I go to a grocery store, drink clean water, get a good filter, reduce my chemical exposure, not shop at Sephora because it's absolute garbage. These are the choices you can make. And if we all started making these types of choices a little bit more, there would be a shift, an incredible shift. But it starts with you as an individual. So for you and your health, start making different choices. Move your body. Find a frame of time that you feel like you can commit to and just schedule it into your calendar. Commit to it. Love your body. Love your health. Arm your body with the resiliency it needs. And go for it. Okay. Bye, everyone.